أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
We hear these names: Kid Rock. You have Kiss. What group of?
I was a heavy metal guitar player, man. Like long hair, don't care.
So that's the logic behind that specific type of music.
I've achieved everything. I got the cars. I got the girls. I got the clothes. I got the mansions. Jets, private yachts, popping bottles, you know, I got it all. And yet, there's still a void. I mean, I was basically drugged to church every Sunday morning, hated every bit of it, you know, trying to get to, you know, get you to speak in tongues and all kinds of stuff, man. But and my guitar cost twice as much as my car.
Wow.
I had two amps in my bathroom alone.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How you guys doing? Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. My next guest, he went from being the guys who was screaming, you know, the heavy metal guitarist. And then he was also being dragged along from a young age, going into church. He hit a breaking point. He was like, man, I don't believe any of this stuff. Became an atheist. And then what can I tell you next? You're going to have to watch the show. Because he's on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show.
So how are you doing, brother? Joshua, you're coming in all the way from, where are you at?
Nashville, Tennessee, man.
Do they call it the good old boys?
Man, I don't know what they call it down here. It's fitting down here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us, what's the situation with everything that's erupting now down in, that's like a red state, right?
Yeah, I believe so, man. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, man, for the most part, things are normal, I guess, you know, as normal as they can be, you know, alhamdulillah. I'm able to practice my deen, wear a thobe out in public, my whiteboard in the cob. We don't get harassed. We don't get, you know, ostracized or anything like that, man. We good.
Yeah. Well, that's so for people that don't know who are tuning in, they heard me say red state. This is like how they've got us things divided, right? You got blue, red, green.
Blue
is like red and blue, but Democrats, green. Right. I mean, but we know Islam just brings all humanity together, you know, under the worship of the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth, being morally upright, following the way of all the messages and the prophets and messengers. Now, you yourself, you were born in Tennessee?
No, sir. I'm actually from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay. Closer to us over here.
We're neighbors. Yeah. I was born. Yeah. I have a lot of family in Chicago and Joliet.
How long you been there in Tennessee now?
So half my life, 15 years in Wisconsin. The other half of my life, Tennessee. I'm 30 right now, so 15 and 15, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I mean, just like bringing us up, like how, because that's more of a conservative, you know, Tennessee is more conservative, right?
Yeah.
Republican, conservative, red, that's what we mean.
Yeah.
So what's the feeling, the climate down there with everything that's going on? Have you followed some of the events that's happening with Trump and all that?
Sure. I mean, honestly, man, I think that the media shows one aspect.
Yeah.
You know, they have their own agenda. And then you have the day-to-day conversations with everyday people, right? You have the conversations in the gym, conversations in the grocery store, conversations with your relatives, right? And no one has ever personally attacked me, and all praises for Allah, ever. Like, I talk to people all the time in the gym, grocery store. Again, they see me, they know I'm Muslim. I actually make salah in the squat rack. You know, I'm making fajr.
Yeah, mashallah.
And they just go, you know, hey man, what are you reading? I'll be like, oh, I'm reading the Quran, or I'm reading Sahih al-Bukhari. You know, and all they're just curious, man. But nobody has ever, like, called me terrorist, called me Wahhabi, called me this, attacked me. Why do you believe in blowing people up? That's the media showing all that stuff, man. But when you have these everyday conversations, it's nothing but just good old conversation, man.
Yeah.
Everyone's courteous and kind.
I mean, you have some of the nicest people who come from La Desert, you know, from the South.
Hospitality, man.
Right? Southern hospitality. But would you say that many have also become victim of the hate machine and the hate propaganda, you know, from the media and people with, you know, an agenda, and then they have this fear, you know, of the unknown.
Yeah, and at the same time, like, you know, I discuss this a lot, man. You know, this isn't something new or specific to the Muslims, right? This is something that's been going on for a very long time. It was with the African Americans during the Civil Rights Movement, with Japan during you know, whatever, World War I, World War II, Native Americans, all these different things, man. They're always trying to be that us versus them, right? Us versus them mentality, and trying to, you know, just scare people, man, control them for their own agenda, man. So at the end of the day, it's like, it doesn't, people pick up on it eventually, and they go, oh man, you know, African Americans, they're no different than us, or Native Americans, or Japanese, or whatever, and they, people pick up on it, they're like, okay, dude, we're tired of that story. And then the media moves on. To me, I'm just like, they're going to bleed this thing out into the point where people are actually like, dude, we know Muslims, all right? Muslims ain't like this. That's a specific selective group of people. And the media is going to move on, man, you know? So,
yeah. How did you perceive Islam and Muslims before you actually became a Muslim?
Great question. So actually, man, the only thing I knew was what the media told me, right? That was the only thing I knew, because I didn't know any Muslims, right? But at the same time, I knew, I was 22 when I accepted Islam. I've been Muslim 8 years. Alhamdulillah for that.
Alhamdulillah.
And I knew that, again, the media, the news, they have their own agenda, man. So, but that's all I knew. That's all I had to work on. You know, I was here in Tennessee, and they were talking about, at the time, 8 years ago, oh, Muslims are going to hijack the school buses, you know, the high school buses, the elementary buses, and they're going to blow them up, right?
That's what, who was saying that? That was
at the time. And I'm like, all I could do was like, I want to see some Muslims try something like that. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? But that's all I had to work with, man, you know, because I didn't know anybody at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, to answer your question, it wasn't a very good perspective, but at the same time, I was kind of neutral in the sense that I didn't accept that narrative, but I didn't have anything else to work with either.
Mm-hmm. So how far after that, and this whole school bus thing, what, this was something that was coming from the media?
Exactly. Yeah. It was just the media, man, just saying, you know, and that was the buzz, you know, all my family are like, oh my God, did you hear, Josh? Did you hear? They're talking about blowing up the buses. They're going to hijack the buses. You know, the buses that I'm riding, they go to high school, right? You know, at the time. And I'm like, so I'm kind of having in the back of my mind this kind of sense of fear or uncertainty. Is that really going to happen? Is that really going to take place, man? What is going mm-hmm. on here? Who are these Muslims, man? What are they about? Why would they do something like that?
Yeah. Do you kind of see like a similar thing happening today? You have like, again, blue, red, black, white, you know, all of these divisions, big divisions that are happening here in America. What do you think about that?
It's I feel like if you have the everyday conversations, man, no one brings those topics up, you know what I'm saying? No one's really afraid of those things. But it's the media, man, the us versus them, where it's, you know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Muslims are, you know, trying to blow this up, this, that, and the other, man. The way I look at it, man, it's just they're just trying to instill fear any way that they can, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not reality.
So now, how far after that, you know, the school bus situation, how far after that did you actually get exposed to a Muslim or to Islam?
A few years, man. So that was right around probably 16, 17, man, something like that, high school. And I didn't accept Islam until I was 22. And the reason why I accepted Islam in brief is because I met a Muslim, man. I actually met a Muslim, talked with him. And at the time, I don't know how much you know about my backstory, Eddie, but I was a heavy metal guitar player, man. Like, long hair, don't care. You know, I was
actually... Long hair, don't care. I like long hair.
Don't care, you know.
Long, now you switched it. Mashallah. Long hair, don't care. So it was like into Metallica and stuff like that?
Pantera, Lamb, I mean, the whole nine yards, man. And my guitar cost twice as much as my car.
Wow.
I had two amps in my bathroom alone. Like, I'm talking about committed, man. And,
So wait, again, you were just let's stop there. Don't lose your place. So you were a guitarist in the band?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah. Yes, did you also do vocals and sing?
I was screaming type stuff, man. You know.
So that's a little different than like, is that kind of like bring us to like, we hear these names, Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. You have Kiss. What group of music is that in?
Heavy metal, thrash metal.
That's just that yelling, screaming, right?
Yeah, basically.
That's a lot of.
Man.
What's the point? What's the point there?
Man, it was just a vehicle for trying to express your aggression and the frustrations that everybody has. You know, we all have, even as Muslims, man, we have things that we're going through. We have frustrations. We have these emotions that we're trying to, you know, get a handle on, and get brains on, and kind of reel them in a bit. And it was just misguided, man. It was just frustration as a child. growing up not knowing my dad. You know, I didn't meet my dad till a month before I accepted the slam.
I see. Okay, so that's the logic behind that specific type of music. Is it, is it like angry, just, you know, screaming? Is like,
and instead yeah. of attacking somebody, being violent, you know what I mean? Taking out your frustrations on other people. It was just a means of expressing myself in a way that I thought was not harmful to anyone. You know, mm-hmm. That was my approach.
Is it also like in many of the much of the music? It's just like, you know, degrading of women, talking about money, talking about, you know, country music is more like I lost my house, my car, my dogs, stuff like that. But how about this? But what about like this Metallica music? What's the message in there? Like, what do they?
Again, it depends, man. Every band had their own approach, their own agenda, their own mission, their own statements, man. But in general, man, again, it was just talking about the frustrations of life, really.
But
whether it's drug abuse, alcohol abuse, child abuse, you know, trauma, all these different things, you know, that people experience either themselves, or you have a close relative who's an alcoholic or a drug, you know, it touches everybody, right?
Yeah.
Death from diseases and all these different things. So that was just kind of the stuff that we would talk about, man.
Again, don't lose your place, but this is very interesting. So you, at what age did you learn how to play did you play any other instruments or just mainly guitar?
Man, so I picked up the guitar at 15, man. And,
15.
I was like, you couldn't tell me the color of my wall, man, because my wall was just plastered with posters of every single musician, vocalist, bass player, drummer. Couldn't tell me the color of my wall, man. And I just, 15 years old, I was like, I'm going to be the greatest guitar player that ever lived. And for the next 8 years, that's what I did with my life, every single moment that I had. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who were at that time, like, the most popular heavy metal bands? Was Kiss considered heavy metal?
You know, they're iconic, man. You know, definitely iconic, man. But at the time, for the stuff that I was into, man, you know, heavy metal and thrash metal, it had its peak, its heyday in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, I'm talking about, you know, this is only 8 years ago. So this is 2000s where gangster rap and all that stuff was, like, you know, on the charts, man. So in general, you know, again, bands that probably no one's going to know, your audience probably going to listen to, is Lamb of God, Gojira, Trivium. These bands that probably no one's ever heard of, man. But those were the bands, like, that would be like the equivalent of Metallica in the 80s and 90s, man.
So Metallica came later?
Yeah, Metallica's from early, like, late 70s, 80s. Yeah.
What about that famous, very famous... was he also a singer? Yeah, he was a singer. Was he? What kind of music was? Was it? Is it Chris Cobain or the one who?
Yeah. He was
Nirvana from Nirvana.
Sound, and I believe Audioslave and some other different Chris Cornell. What's
Chris Cornell? Is that Nirvana? Was a group Nirvana?
No, that was audio. Kurt Cobain is from Nirvana, but Chris Cornell, from my memory serves me correctly, that's his name. He's the one that hung himself. Just recently, I believe so. I think he hung himself.
What was his name? Chris Cornell. So yeah, he committed suicide?
Yeah, man. You know, you have that. I'm thinking there's a singer from Linkin Park. He committed suicide, man. There's a number of different ones. But even like Robin Williams and all these different people. That's because, you know, and I think it just... Because, you know, when you hit a certain pinnacle of success in the dunya, right, in this worldly life, when you hit a certain pinnacle of success, you literally, money is no option, man. You can have whatever you want, literally, within the snap of your fingers. You got it. VIP treatment right this way, sir, you know what I mean? And you don't have anything after that. And then it's just like, well, I guess it's just downhill from here. Because you've reached the pinnacle of quote-unquote success, man. It's really hard to grasp that. Especially if you've reached the pinnacle of success and you still don't feel fulfilled. You're like, dude, what else is there? I've achieved everything. I got the cars. I got the girls. I got the clothes. I got the mansions, jets, private yachts, popping bottles. You know, I got it all. And yet there's still a void.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The question is why. And then that one also for Nirvana. Did he commit suicide? What happened with him?
There's some controversy, man. There's some controversy. There was him or his wife at the time, but basically he was killed via a shotgun, blew his head off.
Yeah. All right, so let's say all these others that we're talking about, like these people are some of the most famous, influential musicians. And
I mean, yeah, it's their mission, you know, like that. They reached the pinnacle of what their dream was.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just on some small little circuit and, you know, no one knows their name. Their name is global.
You know, yeah, don't you think about that? Like, it's not like when you start practicing like you did, you know, Islam, and then it's like, oh man, my iman is so great today, I'm going to commit suicide. Like, it doesn't. It's like when you're in Islam, you know, when you, yeah, right. It's like you got contentment, you got peace, solace. You get, it's all the ingredients for, you know, happy life, right? So tell me now, what happens when you met this? You said you finally met a Muslim.
Yeah. Yeah, but my story, man, my story is, you know, I praise Allah. Allah is El Aziz, El Hakim. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, man. And Allah knows us better than we know our own selves. And He guides whom He wills, how He wills. My story isn't the most romantic story or exotic story. I didn't read a book. I wanted to marry a Muslim. I was a heavy metal guitar player. I met a Muslim woman. And I was like, what do I have to do to marry you? I want to be with you. She said, you got to become Muslim. I said, how difficult is that? Thinking I'm still going to be a metal guitar player. I'm still going to, you know, do everything that I do, but I'm going to say I'm a Muslim as well, man. And after some time, I accepted Islam. And within a week, right, I didn't even have the iman. I didn't even know nothing about Salah, Zakah, Sawm, the pillars of iman. I didn't know jack, dude. And I about a week into saying I'm a Muslim. In fact, I called the imam, the local imam down the street, the night before, and I said, I'm looking for the imam.
Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying this week's episode. Don't forget, subscribe right now if you haven't already. Hit that like button so we can get more people engaged and we can reach more people, and support us on our Patreon page. Subscribe right now. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
You know, imam, like the faith in our heart.
Yeah.
Then I'm looking for the imam. Are you the imam? You know, I didn't know nothing, dude. And after about a week, I actually started looking into what Islam had to say about Tawheed, about who Isa really was, all these different fundamental beliefs of Islam. And it blew my mind. Like, if you've ever seen Looney Tunes back in the day when the jaw drops on the floor, like, that was basically what happened to me. I was like, I can't believe what I'm hearing right now, because this is what I believed my entire life. Because basically I considered myself, if someone asked me at the time, what are you? I said, I'm an atheist. Because I didn't see anything that represented what I believe God was.
Wow. So you were, like, you were an atheist at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before that, were you Christian, or did you
I was raised, man, you know, I was raised to be a Christian. My mom, you know, my entire family to this day, I've been Muslim 8 years. My entire family, dad and mom's side, no one's Muslim but me, man. Only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I was basically drugged to church every Sunday morning, hated every bit of it, you know, trying to get to, you know, get you to speak in tongues and all kinds of stuff, man. But by the age of like 11 or 12, man, I was like, dude, I don't believe none of this, man.
Yeah. What were some of the things that stood out that you remember that you're like, no, I can't dig this. This doesn't make sense.
To be honest with you, man, and no offense to anybody, but I mean, I'm just answering the question, man. One of the things, so I went to a specific church. I don't even know what it's called, like what that specific sect or group or whatever you want to call it, where they literally fall on the floor and they're like compulsing, like they're like they're having a seizure.
Yeah.
Like the first time I seen that, I remember being like a little kid and being like, call 911. And I'm like, dude, they're having a seizure, man. You know, yeah. And it's like when you're speaking in tongues and doing all these things, I'm like, this is so strange, man. Like, this can't be God. And the most crucial, important point is the belief about Isa, about Jesus. I couldn't accept that God's a man, that God died on a cross, that God was a baby infant. Because, you know, I have a 3-year-old son. I see how dependent he is on his mother and myself. Dude can't do nothing for himself. You know what I mean? I had to change his poopy diaper. You know, he's got to be breastfed at the time, you know, when he was first born. He can't feed himself. He can't do nothing. I'm like, that's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Sorry, but I can't accept that, man. You know what I mean?
Wow. So then how long after that did you consider yourself an atheist?
Until I was accepted Islam at 22, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So then you're
I guess what I would say, like, so there's also some things why I would say I was an atheist, and that was because I was angry at Allah, because I seen so much war, so much fitna, so much people using religion for their own agendas, all these different things, all this, you know, rape and murder and all these, you know, pillaging and evil stuff in the world. I'm like, God doesn't care about us, man. You don't care about us, you know, and that was my mentality at the time. And that's why deep down, I guess you would say I was an agnostic. I believed in God. I believed in love, but I was so angry because I didn't understand the wisdom behind all these different things. I didn't understand all of it at the time that I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to reject him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Thinking that, you know, that actually means something, right, at the time.
And then start yelling in the right, with the frustration, huh? Then you got an outlet.
Exactly.
Here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So wow, so you were really what was your goal at the end? You wanted to be a star? You wanted to be a rock star?
I wanted to play to, you know, packed arenas, man. Like you said, Metallica, man. I wanted to make Metallica open up for me. I wanted them to be the opening up band.
That was the dream, huh?
The main, you know. But, you know, I've always had super high ambitions, man, since day one. So, yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure, man.
So now you come into Islam. At that time, was your attention, it was just purely for, you got married, you know?
So I just wanted to get married, man. I wanted to continue living my life. And I told her, I was like, I'll become Muslim, but I hope you're cool with me touring the world, because I'm going to be on the road all the time. I'm going to be in the studio. I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be doing this and doing that. You know, and she was like, and she's not my current wife, you know, things didn't work out. And that's because, you know, what we did was haram, you know, at the time. You know, I shouldn't have been talking to her. She shouldn't have been talking to me. But like I said, if Allah would have chosen a brother, a man, to say the same exact words and have the same exact approach, I would not have listened. I would have been like, that's cool, bro. You want to be a Muslim? That's cool. But I'm a metalhead guitar player, dude. So you do you and I'm going to do me. But it took the only way to open up my eyes, my ears, my heart, my mind, was to fall in love with this lady, fall in love with this sister, to just for me to open up and actually lend my ear to what Islam has to say. And then as soon as I did, as I said, that's a hijra, khalas, done. I believe, man. Iman just penetrated my heart. You know, I do bow hunting. You know, I'm an archer as well. Like, I'm looking at my bow right now. Uh-huh. And, I mean, it penetrated me in the money.
Yeah.
You know, and alhamdulillah, man. I'll praise for Allah.
MashaAllah. What would you, I had this interesting story, a true story. I met someone who asked me, the guy asked me, are you Muslim? And I told him, what do you mean? I said, depends on your definition of Muslim. Because, you know, a lot of people, they think Muslim and all these negative connotations that come with him.
Yeah.
So I like to define the word. If you mean by Muslim, one who XYZ, you know, submits his will to the creator of the heavens and earth, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. But then he actually came out and said, oh, I'm Muslim. And it was a Polish gentleman. But then I was like, oh, you're Muslim? And then he opened up the conversation. He goes, yeah, I married a Muslim girl. And I turned Muslim to marry her. And I was like, okay, did it just stop there? He goes, because he says he's an atheist. So I'm like, hold on, there's a contradiction there, right? But it's similar to your story. But then I started talking to him, and, you know, it's like God Almighty Allah put us to cross paths. But this was very, very interesting. It's similar because she's not really practicing. But she held on to that. She wanted to respect her parents' wishes, I guess. Her parents are practicing. So then they ended up, they're married to this day, but he's stuck in between like two worlds, the world of unbelief. But then when you talk to a person like that, you know, the foundation of the atheism is so weak, right? There's nothing there. And then when you explain the truth, it's like, you know, wow, the truth, it just stands out clear. It's lucid. Yeah. So what would you tell someone like that who's in a similar situation, but the person is not engaging with Islam? He's not really engaging, you know, so he's stuck in the on the other side of the fence. But he's saying he's Muslim, but it's kind of it's hypocrisy because it's kind of fake.
Man, that's a weird situation, man. I mean, at the end of the day, man, you have to actually ponder, man. You know, there's many different avenues, there's many different ways, man. You can read the Quran, you can read the Hadith, and you can look at your own self, you can look at the sky, you can look at the universe. Allah has made all of this for us to ponder, man. You know, and at the end of the day, like, dude, chaos, order does not come from chaos. When I clean my house, my three-year-old toddler immediately destroys it. It's like he is anti-clean. Like, it's like something in him, I must destroy the whole house. It cannot be organized, yeah. Right? So it's like, you know, they talk about the Big Bang, right? This Big Bang theory. It's like, there is so much order in the universe, man. It is so perfect. Not as it's okay, it's 50-50. There's some tweaks that need to be made here and there. You need to, you know, you need to have some maintenance. Everyone, no, 101% perfect every single day. That doesn't come from chaos of just a big explosion, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, boom, you have order. Mm-hmm. That goes against common basic intellect, man. It doesn't mm-hmm. take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Yeah. We usually tell people, they just, if they're genuine and sincere, when you started to engage with the Quran, with Islam, I mean, as opposed to when you, because you did some engaging, obviously, when you're going to church on Sundays mm-hmm. with the Bible, like, yeah. What was the difference here?
Yeah, I mean, again.
And did you look at other religions? Did you look at other religions?
For sure, man. But at the end of the day, man, Tawheed makes absolute sense. And the fact that
For people just never heard this word, Tawheed. So what do you mean by that?
Yes, the unique oneness of Allah, the unique oneness of God Almighty, of the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Okay, the pure monotheism. Yeah.
There is oneness in worshiping him, oneness in his ability to do things that nobody else can do, right? Worship, like, this is what Tawheed, this is what the oneness of Allah is. And Islam has literally cut off every single path, avenue, valley, whatever you want to call it, streetway, to get to anyone other than Allah. It is so detailed and intricate. No matter how much you, if you sit down and reflect and ponder and say, maybe I can worship someone other than, you know, Allah this way or this way. Islam has cut off every avenue. It is so intricate and detailed. It's mind-boggling, but at the same time, it's not, because you know it's from Allah, right?
That stood out.
What sold me, man, is just like, there's no worship except the one that you're intended to worship, man.
Yeah. That's really something that, like you said, it stands out from every man-made ism, man-made religion. You know, the pure monotheism. What we
Allah
call
says
Tawheed.
If this was from anyone other than Allah, the Quran, you would find many contradictions, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you find any?
Not yet, man. It's been 8 years. Not yet.
So you really put it to the test. I mean, obviously, to have you come this far,
man,
and
this is my salvation. This is, dude. You know, here's the thing, man. I didn't leave music. Alhamdulillah. I haven't played a guitar. I haven't touched guitar in 8 years, right? Since I accepted Islam. I love guitar to this day. It's something that's never left my heart, right? I don't listen to music. I don't play guitar. I don't do any of those things anymore. But that's still in my heart, man. Where was I going to go with that? Sorry, I had a brain fart for a second. One sec.
You're talking about
but
the music?
I left it because, you know, it's for Allah, man. You know, at the end of the day, like, I left those things because it's for Allah, dude. It's not that I don't love it. You know, it's that I'm submitting to my creator, man. You know, at the end of the day.
When you look at the wisdom also, it's beautiful, because you see, like, obviously, you know, so you can give an example, like, you know, the musical instruments and all that. It's like the malware that, you know, the virus is carried in, right? And so the music opens you up. And we're not talking about, you know, the chirping of birds and the natural sounds and that. We're talking specifically here, these wind and string instruments and the stuff that's the message that's conveyed in this music. So now when this malware, when it gets into the computer, right now, the virus spreads
and it controls in your whole perspective of life.
So now when these messages,
situation that happens in your life, you're going to be weighing that against that malware that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So when those messages, you know, a lot of those subliminal messages, a lot of those messages that come in from many of the music that's out there, I mean, it doesn't really do good
music,
for your heart and mind, does
Hollywood,
it?
movies.
Yeah.
This, that, and the other, man. It's constantly the magazines, the billboards.
Yeah. Yeah, so when we explain this, I mean, because many people, they go to sleep to music, to hip hop, to metal, to all sorts of songs, and they get up to it, and it's just their whole life, they're kind of asleep to the reality of, like, what's the purpose? Why am I here? Mm-hmm. Right? So this weakens the heart. And many people, when you explain it, the wisdom behind it, then they say, oh, that makes sense, right? So you got that. So you started to... change your life, alhamdulillah.
It wasn't easy, man. That was my dream, though. You know, I mean, that was my absolute dream, man. To play music and be a famous guitar player, man. But at the end of the day, man, it smitna wa ta'na. You know, we hear and we obey. You know.
Yeah.
And we look at it as like, you know, what's the end goal here, right? You said you're talking about purpose and what's the end goal? Why give it up? You know, because you said, is there any contradictions, right? I'm looking for contradictions. That was my point. Like in the sense that. This is my salvation and this is my life. I didn't give up music because I hate it, right? So if Islam is wrong, if Islam is contradictory, if Islam is not the truth, I'm going back to music, dude. Yeah, I didn't give that up because I hate it. I would gladly go back to music, man, but there is no contradictions in Islam, man. It is so accurate, man. It is so precise, dude. It's unbelievable, man, the more you look into it.
What do you advise for people who are out there when they say, okay, but they see a lot of, because there's a big movement, you know, there's big money made in bashing Islam. So it's a big industry. People get out there and they try to say, oh, here's a contradiction. Here's one. Here's this. Then they bring up all of this stuff that's out there. Did you battle in the beginning with some of that? Because here's what they do. I don't know if you've heard of the term astroturfing. Have you heard of the term astroturfing? This is.
Yeah, I think I couldn't give you the definition, but I think I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, what happens is a lot of companies, like pharmaceutical companies, they do this, and other industries. What happens is when one piece of truth is put out there, okay, and now you have enemies to the truth. You'll have ghostwriters, so people start writing, you know, articles against the truth, even though the truth stands as the truth. So now there's so much confusion put out there. So you have, like, they'll flood. The internet, they'll flood, you know, they'll flood. So they'll flood the internet with 50, 60, 100 different articles. So the average person is like, well, confused and lost. Mm-hmm. But there's that one out there that is 100% the truth. Mm-hmm. But now they'll have their own doctors, scientists write off on these things. And this is called one of the ways of astroturfing. So we see this also with Islam. We see the same thing. We see that the truth is out there, but then you have enemies to the truth, and then people get confused because of, you know, a lot of these false articles and videos and that people put out there. What have you been experienced some of this?
Yeah, man, but I think there's three important points, man, that someone needs to do in order to find the truth. First and foremost, you need to beg Allah, right? You need to ask Allah, your creator, guide me. Guide me to the truth. Allow me to see the truth and to accept the truth. You need to use your own brain, man. You have to use your own intellect and think about and ponder what is being said here, right? You need to be able to do things on your own. And thirdly, when you want to learn about something, man, if I wanted to learn tennis, right? I want to learn tennis as an example. Am I going to go to a rugby player and be like, hey, dude, teach me tennis? You would look at me like a moron. Like, I'm not a tennis expert, dude. I'm a rugby professional, right? So who are you getting your information from? What are your resources, man? If you're going to someone who is not a Muslim, first and foremost, they're not a Muslim. They openly say and declare, I disbelieve, I'm not a Muslim. And all they're doing is attacking and bashing Islam. Is that who you want to take your information about a religion from? Or do you want to go to the people who are authentic, who actually have, you know, their resources, and they explain to you, this looks like a contradiction, but in reality it's not. Or this was abrogated. You think it's a contradiction, but actually that was abrogated a long time ago, you know? We can harmonize these different hadiths and these different things. Again, you know, exactly right. You're going, who is your source, dude? You know what I mean? If you want to learn about Islam, go to a Muslim. Don't go to someone who has nothing to do with Islam and doesn't know Islam and doesn't practice Islam. You know what I mean?
Very, very good point. You don't go to learn about Black history to the KKK, right? You don't go to learn about.
They're going
to
be like, look,
yeah,
here in the Bible it says such, and they're going to have their own interpretation and their own agenda. They're going to be like, see, Black people are inferior. Look at them right there, you know.
Exactly. Like, yeah, and you don't go to the communist professor to learn about God. So I like that point, what you're saying. You got to go to the right sources, and from there pray directly to the creator of the heavens and the earth, and use some critical thinking skills. And God Almighty, if you're sincere, he will definitely guide you like he guided you. So what were that was the number one thing. I like what you said, the pure monotheism. And I like it's been so embedded in you now that you've developed this certainty, this yakin that we call it, that you're at the gym and you're stopping to pray. Nothing's stopping you.
I hit my set of squats and I make my salah, man. I make sujood, you know? And no one bothers me, man. I don't explain myself. I don't get, hey, man, I'm about to do something kind of weird to you guys. I just say, Allahu Akbar, I have to do my thing, man.
Yeah, you find it. What do you, you just find a little area and you just go ahead. It's time to pray and you just.
Right there in the squat rack, man. I re-rack my set.
MashaAllah.
Squat right there, man.
So what do you say to Muslims? A lot of Muslims who just kind of like, you know, got negligent, abandoned the prayer. It's kind of disheartening to see. What do you, somebody who, coming from the background you came from, what advice do you give them?
You got to give them the siha, man. You got to give them the siha, man. You got to be wise with the dough. You know, you got to be wise. Just remind them, man. And like, look, dude, at the end of the day, man, the first thing that the servants of God, the servants of Allah, man, is going to be questioned about is the salah, man. And if that salah's on point, alhamdulillah, everything else is going to be on point, inshallah. And if not, that's going to be a tough, tough day for you, man. And I'm like, dude, it is literally, you have 24 hours in the day. 24 hours in the day, man. If you get your 8 hours of sleep and you work your 10-hour shift and you, you know, whatever, you do all these extra, you know, little errands here and there, you ain't got 25 minutes on totality to offer five prayers a day, dude. Literally, you ain't got that. You got the ability to see, hear, think, taste, touch. You got nice kids. You got a beautiful wife. You got a beautiful husband. You got a nice job. You got a working car. You got roof over your head. You got all these blessings that you cannot enumerate. And you can't even offer something as simple and as basic as making salah, dude. Come on now.
Very important things to think about. So evidence-based, it wasn't just an emotional decision, because you'll see people, they say, oh, I had a dream. Like, why did you start following this way of life? Oh, because so-and-so came to me in a dream. This happened. Like what for you, it was like the message of the simple message of worshiping the creator, not the creation. Mm-hmm. And what are the thing would you say that stood out? Like,
Justice. Uh-huh. Like, honestly, man, when I found out that just because you say I'm a Muslim, you say the kalimat tawheed, right? The shahada, right? The testimony that I believe in Allah and I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, that does not make you ineligible to go to the fire.
Wow, yeah.
That doesn't, just because you say that, dude, don't mean that you can't go to the fire. And I was like, I had never heard that in my entire life, man. That most people, it's like, what? I say I believe, halas, done. That's all I gotta do, kick my feet up and just wait until I get to, you know, right this way, Mr. Angel, right in paradise, right? It ain't like that, man. You say it, and then you got to act, man. You got to move, dude. And if you don't, I mean, again, that doesn't make you ineligible. That you could go to the fire. Now, you eventually, inshallah, God willing, you'll be removed, man. But the justice of just because you say you believe, man, don't mean jack, dude. Like, you got to put some effort and some action behind that statement, man. So that justice of that, man, really, like, stood out to me, man.
One of those things that reminds me, just saying some negative derogatory thing about Jesus, peace be upon him, can land you a ticket into hellfire. You know, denying Jesus, peace be upon him, is one of the mightiest messengers. You can that can land you a ticket right to the hellfire. You know,
one way pass, man.
Yeah. So when you go back, you engage with because there's a lot of Christians in Tennessee, right?
My whole family.
The whole family. When you engage with your family, you talk about, you know, look, I'm Muslim. I'm one who submits to God, to the will of God, like Jesus. You know, when you talk about, you know, a chapter named after his blessed mother in the Quran, when you talk about somebody, we believe, you know, he was the Messiah, the word of God. When you talk about all of these similarities, commonalities, and us actually probably being more conservative than the conservative in many aspects.
I mean,
right?
We're probably so closer than anybody, man.
Yeah.
You know, like you, action and statement and everything, man.
So when you engage like that, like what do does people's jaws drop? I mean, what kind of reaction do you get when you share some of these? Yeah, it's sad. It's sometimes the heart's closed.
Like,
you know, before,
like, you know, nu alayhi salam.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Let's change topics. Let's change subjects. You know, you ain't going to convert me, you know. Honorable things, man.
Yeah, it's sad, but we keep striving. Inshallah, Allah opens the one who guides. Yeah,
it was something that really I struggled with for a long time too, man. You know, because you know I've been Muslim 8 years, man, and again 8 years of you know trying to be a good practicing Muslim. Obviously, I ain't perfect by any means, man, but just trying to be a good practicing Muslim, man. And 8 years later, like, dang, ain't nobody in my family except Islam, you know. And then I started thinking about like, well, dude, who is clear and more articulate in the message than the messengers? Who could articulate the message better than the messengers? And yet we know on Yom Kiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, there are going to be messengers and prophets that got zero followers, man. So it kind of gives me a little bit of solace, you know. We still try, we still strive for things like that, but at the end of the day, you know, Allah got some wills, man.
Yeah. So from singing in the metallic band, or actually from playing the guitar in the metallic band, to now accepting Islam, reading the Quran, there's a particular surah, chapter in the Quran that Muslims recite 17 times a day. It's the opening. Can you let them hear this? Can you let them hear it coming from you, the Al-Fatiha, please?
You want me to recite, man?
Yes, please.
Put me on the spot? All right, no promise, bismillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
ما شاء الله. So this is, because some people, this might be the only chance that they ever have to actually hear the Quran. Now coming from an American, coming from a former Christian, coming
redneck,
from a former atheist, coming from a former redneck, this is one of the proofs, this is one of the miracles, you know, just to hear someone like you reciting the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah. And in there, this chapter is praising God Almighty, you know, to the best way that can be praised. I want to thank you very much, you know, for spending some time with us. If you're you plan on visiting Wisconsin area anytime soon in the future.
It's winter, bro. I ain't trying to get there right now, dude. I'm freezing here in Tennessee, man.
So when the weather comes up, hit us up if you're going to be in that area close by. We'd like to hook up with you maybe in person. We can have you in the studio. We can continue talking.
Can I mention something really quick?
Absolutely. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So for your viewers and for your followers, man, your audience, I do run a YouTube channel called Project Dream to Achieve It, Alhamdulillah. It's for all things mindset, marriage, and the Muslim struggle, and especially the revert struggle, right? A lot of us, man, we put a lot of effort into calling people to Islam, and unfortunately, at least in my town, in my city, there's not as much effort in actually helping people remain Muslim and nurturing them as Muslims, man. So my channel is dedicated to all things mindset, marriage, and that Muslim struggle. Alhamdulillah, you can find me at Project Dream to Achieve It, man. And I want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, brother. Dude, it's so crazy, man. I watched you 8 years ago when I accepted Islam. And I watched your, you know, I bought your DVD about your journey to, you know, how you became a Muslim. And I'm like, man, I'm going to ask this brother, what's your favorite move? Do you like the darce choke? Do you like the ankle pick? Do you like the rear naked choke? Because I'm all about jiu-jitsu and martial arts, man. So I wanted to ask you what your favorite move is before we go, man.
Oh, mashallah. So you started training also.
I don't train, man, but I love it, man.
Mashallah, mashallah. I have a bunch of favorite moves, but I like to mount and finish with the X choke. from the bottom, the move Khabib did. I like to put the triangle also.
You have the butterfly guard, or is that something?
That's a different
butterfly guard type stuff.
This is the triangle from when you're playing the guard, right?
Yeah.
Like that move that I don't know if you saw the last fight with Khabib he went for the arm lock, but he switched to the triangle. Yes.
Yeah.
So this, yeah, mashallah, this is great. I'm very nice, brother. I'm very elated to have met you and talked with you. Hopefully we can inshallah meet in person and have you on the program again, inshallah, sometime.
My ankle pick, man. I'm just letting you know. I'll roll right on you, bro.
That, I got you, man. We got to hook up then. We got that date, inshallah, sometime in the future soon, inshallah. Thank you, brother. May Allah preserve you, protect you, and grant you the best in this life and the hereafter.
Amen.
And that was Joshua Angel here in the Deen Show sharing his story. very great points that he talked about. One of them, no matter where you're at, and it's time to make sajda, time to make salat, and think more than you've been told about Islam. You've been fed a lot of the misinformation. So do what he did. Engage with it. And you're like our friend who I share with, that Polish guy or that Italian guy, whoever. And you just married someone just because what? Because their parents told you to go ahead and you have to be Muslim. Don't do that. Don't practice hypocrisy. You know, stand for what you believe. And I can tell you, just like he did, he engaged with Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. He looked at the evidence, and the thing that pointed him even further into going into the truth, it stood out, was that pure monotheism, the Tawheed. And be sincere. Cry to your creator. Ask the one who created you. Say, guide me, guide me, guide me. Guide me. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? What's it all about? I'm going to die soon. It's going to be finished. Islam has all the answers. Islam is the complete blueprint for life. And this is just another incredible story from the many that we've had. And it's a testimony to this beautiful way of life being the truth based on proof and evidence. So what do you got to lose at the end? Time is ticking. We're about to leave this life. And now you either get it right now, because once the test is over, it's finished, you can't go back and change your grade. F means flunk, and it's a hot place that people are going to end up, the hellfire. And we don't want to end up in the hellfire. We want to end up in Jannah, paradise. So I've talked enough, and it behooves you to look into this deen, look into Islam. And with that said, again, subscribe if you haven't already, and hit that notification bell, and support us on our Patreon page. Thank you for tuning in to The Deen Show. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe right now.